If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.com. If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Good afternoon. This is Robert the Infidel with this latest edition of the new Wise Conservatism Radio Show, heard here on Blog Talk Radio through the Conservative Nation Radio Network. The date is April 27th of the year of our Lord 2013. And I thank you for listening. And now, it ain't there. That's just really cool. And now, on with the show. Hello, Loki. Good to see you here. This week hasn't anywhere near been as hectic as last week was. Of course, last week, you remember, we had all this crap that happened about the bombing in Boston, and all of the never-ending stories from the media that we got. And the problem with that is we have had so many stories from the media and from the president and from members of Congress and things like this, that can you really tell me that we really know what really happened there? I keep thinking about this, because that's one of the things that has always seemed to me to be one of the things that the liberals will do, and the liberal media will do, to get us to not really know what's going on, so we can actually be more in tune to the truth that they want us to have. I know that every once in a while the media will come out and actually give us a story that is really just right on tune with what's going on, but you can always bet that if they do this kind of thing, within a day or two, they're going to start backing off of that, because there's all kinds of things that they're going to be hit with. You know, they're going to be, people from higher up is going to be telling them they can't be doing this kind of thing because it doesn't fit the agenda. They can't be telling the truth because the truth is not what they need. And they will back off. And hello, Lady Michelle, I'm glad to see you here. I actually had my show pretty much ready, and then we had some, my wife, one of her nieces just ended up without a place to live, and of course, guess where they came. And they've got a dog who is just a little bitty puppy, and he's one of these things that just likes to find paper anywhere he wants to find it, and I don't care where it is, he will get a hold of it and rip it to shreds. Well, all of my notes ended up on the floor all over the house. So just before the show started, I had to reprint these things out again, about 30 or 40 pages, and I only got about half of them printed when I realized what was, when I had to come on the show. Right now, if you want to call in, and hello, NOPC Radio Network, good to have you here. If you want to call in and be on the show, the number for you would be 718-305-7176. And I'm actually at a loss, really, for what is going on, because I was raised with the idea that you tell the truth and the truth will get you wherever you need to be, and Lady Michelle says, what's worse, losing show prep paperwork or having your cat steal all the toilet paper? Well, The problem with that one is when they moved in, not only did they bring a dog, but they brought a cat, a couple of frogs. And the funny part about that whole thing is the frogs sit in this tank, a 10-gallon tank full of water, and if you stare at them for a while, you swear to God those guys were dead because they never move. To me, why would you want a pet that never moves? And they're white, kind of an off-white color. But so they sit underneath the water and down on the bottom of the tank, and they very seldom ever move. So you sit there and you look at them, you can't even see them breathing, and you say, well, those guys are dead. And apparently they're not, because my wife's niece's husband keeps feeding them and doing things with them, so I guess that is the way I guess it goes. I have, and OPC says that he does all of his shows off the hip. Most of my show is, I read the news, I get the news on what I need to do, and 9 times out of 10, I'll start off on my notes, and then I'm off on a tangent somewhere, and my notes are just sitting there, and half of them I don't even look at. But there are a few things that, I will talk about that I do have on the notes. But, one of the things that has gone on this week that really caught my attention, and I'm not sure if it did everyone else, but Obama this week became the first sitting president to go to a Planned Parenthood meeting and talk there, and he goes and lauds the effort of this essentially what Rush called it was an abortion factory, baby killing factory type thing, and one of the things that Rush was saying was that that Obama encouraged those gathered to continue fighting for abortion rights. So we've got a president who is going to be right up there with you fighting every step of the way, just so long as it has to do with the things that the liberals have fought about throughout the years. And one of the things that really gets to me is they talk about progress. And their progress, I guess, when it comes to Planned Parenthood is thousands of abortions, thousands of babies that don't even get a chance at life get murdered every year. And that apparently is progress for them. And my mind went blank. I guess I ran out of coffee or something. But one of the things that, and he was talking about this, and one of the things that really caught my attention was that he asked God to bless you at the end of his speech. And I've got his speech here. And what he said, Planned Parenthood is not going anywhere. It's not going anywhere today. It's not going anywhere tomorrow. And then he got applause for that. He says, as long as we've got a fight to make sure women have access to quality, affordable health care, and as long as we've got to fight to protect a woman's rights to make her own choices but about her own health, I want you to know that you've also got a president who's going to be right there with you fighting every step of the way. And he got cheers and applause for that. Then he says, thank you, Planned Parenthood. God bless you. God bless America. Thank you. Cheers and applauses. And to me, asking God to bless an organization that kills thousands of babies a year, I don't think so. This man has got I don't know. I keep wanting to say death wish, but this man has got an ideology that is, you know, to make up a word, idiotical. Hello, Barbara. I see you showed up. Thanks last week for doing my show for me when things kind of went and I ended up heading into Indianapolis just before my show was supposed to start. Barbara Buffing came in and on a moment's notice, mind you, this was, I don't think I gave her more than an hour. And she came in and did a heck of a job. Of course, as soon as I could, I called in and I became the guest on my own show, which was really fun. But I got to listen to her do the show, and she did a heck of a job. And I was kind of surprised that not more people made mention of that on the Conservative Nation Radio Network sites. But she did. She did a wonderful, a bang-up job, and I thought that was just, she did a really good job. But, you know, here is Obama asking God to bless the baby-killing factory that the Democrats have been working hard for decades to get. And this world right now is just absolutely topsy-turvy when it comes to telling the truth, telling a lie. I've watched this for, oh God, I can say decades now, where the left will say something and it can be a complete lie. And if somebody on the right comes down on them for it, they say, oh, well, they apologized or they did this, so it's okay. And then we get somebody on the right who makes a blunder and says something that the left doesn't like. And it doesn't matter whether what this person said was the truth or a lie. Apologies never work because the guy said something. He needs to be gotten rid of. Tom Foley is the one that really comes to mind on this one. I've watched the Democrats, and a lot of them get away with things that would destroy a Republican, and they can stay in office for as long as they want. It never seems to matter. And the thing that I'm looking at here is this kind of stuff has got to stop. We have had such a strong, vibrant country for so many years now that most people don't think that little lies or a little half-truth somewhere here and there matter. But it's getting to the darn point right now where these half-truths, which are actually just lies, if you want to bring it right down to the matter, they are lies. If they're not the whole truth, they are a lie. And I don't, you know, to me, I don't care if, and I've gotten in trouble on my blog doing this. I've had liberals just come off and just blast me from one side to the other because what I'm saying is a lie has a little bit of truth in it. Well, so what? If I tell you I'm going out to mow my lawn and I mow a tiny little bitty section of it and then come back and say I mowed it, is that the truth? Yeah, well, for that little bitty section, maybe so. But it's still a lie. And the thing, people just can't seem to get it through their heads, but that if you don't tell the whole truth, you're telling a lie. And I think that everybody that, like, is here in my chat room right now and everybody who will listen to this show for the next week or so, most of them will agree. And I know one of the people that I really like seeing in here is Loki. He does a show called The Halls of Valhalla, and he also does another one. And my mind just went blank. But he does shows on the Constitution, and him and Douglas Gibbs, who does a constitutional show also, are two of the people that I always turn to if I have troubles with something in the Constitution, because they know it. And I always like seeing Loki here because he knows the Constitution. He's good. He has had a blog talk radio show for as long as I've been on Blog Talk Radio, which I started in, I think, 2007. And Loki was already here, I think, and so was Doug. And I got to know both of them through their show and them coming to mine and being able to listen to what they have to say about the Constitution. And if you really want to listen to some people who really know what they're talking about when it comes to Constitution, listen to Loki on his shows. They're most nights, I think. Heck. I think I've got some things that I have to do now. Well, I don't know. Maybe not. Hard telling.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811. PCSforAutomation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
Okay, Loki just put down that Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern time is when his show is. But if you guys ever get a chance to listen to him, he is really good and knows what he is talking about. We've got all kinds of things here. I was listening to, I'm not sure how many of you people listen to Rush in the morning. He has his morning updates, and he had one the other day called Dreams. And in that, he says, as the United States Senate debates immigration reform amnesty, the California legislature is adding a new wrinkle. And I saw this, and I have to talk about this one. The California Democrats are pushing a plan to provide illegal immigrants, my tongue just kind of went off on the tangent somewhere there, where they get free health care services. And that's about 1 million illegal immigrants would be eligible for these things. And illegals wouldn't even need a green card. They'd all be given the green light to be seen by doctors, be tested, and get treatment. Well, I thought about this for a while, and the only thing that came to my mind was the fact that isn't California financially in trouble anyway? and they keep bringing up these new ideas to spend more money. And I've always kind of looked at this with the idea that if you don't have any money, you don't spend any money. And America and a lot of the states have been broke for many years. Let's trade pages. But we've had a lot of people wanting more and more stuff from the government, and a lot of these people just can't seem to grasp onto the concept that any money the government gives them comes from us anyway. Because without us, the taxpayers, the government wouldn't have any money. It doesn't matter if they can print money or not. You know, without the taxpayers, they have no money. And I don't know how many times this has to be said for people to finally realize the fact that, you know, if the government has no money, they can't give you any money. And I know that I have been out of work since November. I've tried to find work, and I think a lot of it has to do with my age that I'm not able, haven't been able to find anything. But I've got a few options open to me this week, which I'm hoping come through for me. But one of the things that I tried to do when I lost my job was I tried to get unemployment. And it was denied. And I think it was mostly denied because of the things that the company I was working for were saying, because I've heard ever since I first started working for them that they will fight anybody who tries to get unemployment. And I've been hearing a lot lately about how, you know, Indiana is a right-to-work state, that I should go and fight this, and I just never have. But I've always believed that you really, if worse comes to worse, you can make the money yourself rather than going to the government. And I've always tried to be that way. My dad always felt it was a shame to have to go on to welfare. And that is an idea that most people don't have anymore. Most people think that, well, getting on welfare, that's fine and dandy. I'll get some free money from the government until I can get working again. And then they get this free money and they start thinking, now, wait a minute, this is pretty cool. I don't have to work. I don't have to do a darn thing, and the government pays my way. And I sit there and I try and mash this over in my brain and try and figure out what's going on. And essentially what is happening here, and now I'm just rambling, I think, but what is happening is you're getting all these people who, and people, if they can be lazy, will be lazy. And with the government pushing the idea that they need more and more people on welfare, more and more people on food stamps, more and more people on this, and more people on this program, and if those are not enough, then they want more programs so they can put more people on them. People are starting to realize that we can just not do anything, and the government will pay our way. We deserve it. And that always kind of brings back to me when the Constitution was signed, and that Ben Franklin was asked by some lady, you know, what have you given us? And he said, you've got a republic for as long as you can keep it. And the last part of that sentence, for as long as you can keep it, really stands out, because once you've got 50% or more on welfare, then the money that the government has is going to be a lot less, and pretty soon it's going to get to the point where the government's not going to be able to pay for anything. And that time is coming really soon. We have been, the government is right now broke. There's no other word for it. Sure, they've got trillions coming in a year. Sure, they've got, you know, the money coming in from the taxes that they get from people and everything else. But if you stop and think about it, that's $16 trillion in debt. And a lot of that is to China, who is now starting to do things that will, that essentially is telling us that they are losing faith in us. And to me, that is not something that you want a creditor to do. You don't want a creditor to lose faith in you to be able to pay back the money that you owe them, because if you do, then all hell is going to break loose. And then Barbara brings up in the chat room, too, that the government gives away too much of our money to other countries. And I just, that's one that I just could never understand in the first place, because if we're so broke and we're having so much troubles, so many troubles keeping money to the point where we don't have to borrow from somebody else, what gives us the idea that we've got enough money to give to another country? Especially a country that hates us anyway. And then we have people like, members of our government telling everybody that it's a right to be a legal resident in the United States. No, it's not. I have always felt that it's a privilege to be a resident and a citizen of the United States, but it's not a right. I don't really think. I may have that wrong. If Loki wanted to call in on that one, that might help a little bit. But, you know, I don't really, it's like everybody thinks that they have the right to be happy. No, they don't. They have the right to pursue being happy. Everybody thinks that they have a right to a job. No, they don't. They have the right to pursue a job. And if they get it, fine and dandy. But if they don't do the job, then they don't have any right at all. And if the boss decides, well, you're not doing your job, I'm going to fire you. That is where the rights come in, because the boss has the right to do that. But you don't have the right to a job. You don't have the right to be happy. You have the right to pursue a job, and you have the right to pursue being happy. But those are things that the left right now is trying to tell us are rights, and no, they're not. I may be still rambling here, but we're going into an area that the left and others say, you know, and people like John McCain will say is a gray area. No, it's not. What has made it a gray area is the idea that the truth is not the truth anymore. And that's where we are getting into troubles here. We are getting into troubles because we are not pursuing the truth, and we are not pursuing what the Constitution says we can pursue, and we are allowing a president who believes that the Constitution is a flawed document, we're allowing him to try to change it. And we have so many bills going on right now that if you stop and look at these things, and it's not just one, you know, we have so many bills right now that are working towards destroying this nation. And nobody said anything about that for a long, long time. And what we've got going on right now is we've got the Democrats who think that they're closer than they have ever been to destroying the Constitution of this country. And they are just gleeful about this. They are just thrilled to the point of ecstasy, practically. And then we have conservatives, or people who say they're conservative. I don't believe John McCain has ever been a conservative, even though he says he's one of the only ones out here. But we have people like John McCain saying, oh, we can't stoop to their level and say mean things about them. And we can't stoop to their level and stand up to our principles and our rights, because that would not be good. It would make enemies out of people that we need to be friends with. And one of the things, and I'm thinking that it was McCain who said this, but he said that what we've got to do is give in to the Democrats on this illegal immigration thing and allow all these illegal immigrants to become citizens. And then he goes and says, it won't help our cause any right now, but once we get them in as citizens, then we have a place to work from. And I felt like just banging my head against the wall. You know, I hearing that gave me a headache, and then I wanted to bang my head against the wall over it. The idiocy of some of these guys who have been in Congress for the Senate for God knows how long, they are so out of touch with what needs to be done in this country that they have absolutely no freaking clue about what they are doing and what they are saying, and they don't bother to retract anything they say unless somebody like Ted Cruz or Marco Rubio or somebody comes on and just really just lambastes them for it. Then they'll back off a little bit, but they'll never take back what they say. And then they keep getting reelected. And the ones that keep getting reelected just blow me away. Harry Reid of Nevada. Everybody knows he's an idiot, but he keeps getting reelected. John McCain, he likes dallying in the giggle weed somewhere and not really paying any attention to what is being done to destroy this nation. And he likes to go across the aisle and smoke some of those giggle weeds with them. And he keeps getting reelected. Lindsey Graham-nesty, as Rush calls him. He's another one. And it's small wonder that all of us who believe in this nation aren't dying of heart attacks because of all of this crap. This kind of thing could raise the blood pressure on a dead person for all that, for crying out loud. And what we have to start thinking about here, people, is we've got to get people in here to run against people like Harry Reid and John McCain and get them out of office. They are not doing this country any bit of good. And one of the things that just drives me nuts about it is that they keep getting reelected. To me, that is wrong. Okay, now let's see here. I've got something here that I got to read and I can't find it. Okay. Yes, Patriot. There it goes. Okay, conservativenationradio.org is proud to be associated with the most effective identity, security, and credit monitoring service there is, LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock, go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the LifeLock banner. Yeah, that's conservativenationradio.org and click on the LifeLock banner.
We first opened about 10 years ago. We were small, just a few of us, but it was exciting. I always dreamt of having my own business. It was kind of slow at first, but things started picking up. We had big plans. But in our wildest dreams, we never thought we'd have this much work. Yeah, with so many businesses caught off guard by the storm, Reed Waste Management has never been busier.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency. And 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now, before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
Okay.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts, stoprex.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Conservatives respect pioneers, and Brenda Ward has been with conservativenationradio.org since the very beginning. Michelle Malkin, Laura Ingram, Ann Coulter, and Monica Crowley have nothing on women patriots, with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing, who is in my chat room here. Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, is the place to hear from real women who are real patriots. So let your voice be heard. Incidentally, convert conservative guys are welcome at our very own B&B, too. Women Patriots, with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. I was goofing around here, looking at all the things that I had to do, and I found this last week we had Earth Day. I have followed this since the very beginning, and it started out as something that was pretty decent to get, you know, companies to stop polluting the air so much and all this stuff. But they've completely gone off the deep end on this whole thing. And I wrote down in my blog, I did a post called "The Big Lie Earth Day Was Yesterday." And I put one of the biggest lies in the history of mankind was perpetrated on us on April 22nd, 1970. When the Environmental Protection Agency, along with the Clean Air, Clean Water, and Endangered Species Acts were started. And in these acts have come regulations that not only make us 100% less important to this world than the snail darter or some other species of creature that was so minute that it couldn't be part of anything big, along with costing us the taxpayers, billions of dollars for a problem that has since gotten over 100% better, but the pundits say is much, much worse to make it cost billions more. And the thing that really catches my attention is that I remember I was in California in the early 70s for a while, and they always had smog alerts and things like this in Los Angeles. And the sky was always just kind of brown. and a day with blue sky was just, it was almost to the point where it was almost unheard of. And since then, you see pictures over Los Angeles a lot anymore where the sky is blue, which to me, you know, it tells me that the air's a lot cleaner than it was. And I do not understand why everything is such a dire, has such a dire consequence to everybody if we don't stop polluting the air so much. Well, we have. We have gotten cars that emit much less in harmful things than they used to. I know I had, at the time, a 68 Ford Torino. It had the 302 in it. That was a fairly clean burning engine. But according to the global warming activists and all of these people, no, it wasn't. It was horrible. It was destroying this world. And they make the United States work on becoming the cleanest nation in the world. And yet, no matter what we have done, we're still the bad guys because we're the ones who's polluting everybody. And we'll get into, like, third world countries where their cars and things still belch out black smoke and everything else, and all of these environmental additions that have been put on our cars are not part of their cars, and they're still polluting just as badly as we used to, but nobody ever says anything about them. Of course not. They're not America. They're not the bad guys of the world. They're not the ones who are doing everything to destroy the world. We are. And it's like Adam in the chat room said, America is a very clean country compared to somewhere like China or India. Yeah, it is. But if you listen to the global warming people, it isn't. And we can go and show them pictures. We can go around the world and take pictures all over the world and show where the worst air is. And the global warming people will still say, that has to have been photoshopped or something like that there, because that can't be true. We don't believe it, so it can't be true. And it's like I said before, you know, that the idea that the truth doesn't matter anymore just drives me to banging my head against the wall. And I haven't done it yet, but it's getting to that point where it just makes me feel like that would be the way to go, because it would make me feel better. Because then I could worry about the pain that I've given my head instead of about what all these global warming nuts have been saying. But the thing that I was looking at, and I've done a lot of research on this since the very beginning, and I've posted on my blog a lot the things that have been said. And I found a list of the predictions that have been made by these guys from the beginning. And a lot of these predictions have been to the point where if we don't do something, this world's going to die. And I have some of these here. You know, there are 13, what they consider the 13 worst predictions made on Earth Day 1970 and beyond. And some of these are just amazing. It's like Harvard biologist George Wald told us on that day in 1970 that civilization will end within 15 or 30 years unless immediate action is taken against the problems facing mankind. When these things happen, the problem that we have here is these guys come out with these idiotic things and telling us things that, like he did, that, you know, civilization will end within 15 to 30 years unless immediate action is taken. Well, we did immediate action. We took that action. We helped everybody. And some of these idiots are still out there telling us shit like this. And I'm sorry I shouldn't have said that, but that's okay. Another one was Washington University biologist Larry Commoner. He said, "We are in an environmental crisis which threatens the survival of this nation and of the world as a suitable place of human habitation." This was back in 1970. The New York Times editorial said, "Man must stop pollution and conserve his resources not merely to enhance existence, but to save the race from intolerable deterioration and possible extinction." Do you hear a theme here? And every bit of this is directed right at the United States, which is one of the cleanest nations in the world. Try and compare this, you know, America's air with China or India or any of them. And you'd probably be able to come out with a reading of much cleaner air here. But it doesn't stop them. We've got Stanford University biologist Paul Ehrlich, or whatever, E-H-R-L-I-C-H. He has made many predictions over the years, and he's never been right. So why do they keep quoting him as being somebody who knows what the hell he's talking about? He says, and he said this on in April of 1970, he said, "Population will inevitably and completely outstrip whatever small increases in food supplies we make. The death rate will increase until at least 100 to 200 million people per year will be starving to death during the next 10 years. That was in 1970. Let's see, that's 80, 90, 2000, 2010. That's 43 years ago. Hey, we're still here, Paul. Guess what? You're wrong. He also said in 1970, he said, "Most of the people who are going to die in the greatest, is the most of the people who are going to die in the greatest cataclysm in the history of man have already been born." By 1975, some experts feel that food shortages will have escalated the present level of world hunger and starvation into famines of unbelievable proportions. That was in 75. Other experts, more optimistic, think the ultimate food population collision will not occur until the decade of the 80s. We're still here. And no matter how many times these people are proven wrong, they still come out with this idiocy. Dennis Hayes, chief organizer for Earth Day, said, "It's already too late to avoid mass starvation." Okay, we're all starving to death. I guess we might as well just give up, huh? North Texas State University professor Peter Gunter, he said, "Demographers agree almost unanimously, sorry, on the following grim timetable. By 1975, widespread famines will begin in India. These will spread by 1990 to include all of India, Pakistan, China, and Near East Africa. By the year 2000, or conceivably sooner, South and Central America will exist under famine conditions. By the year 2000, 30 years from now, the entire world, with the exception of Western Europe, North America, and Australia, will be in famine. So I guess the whole world's in famine now except for us and Australia. I get a kick out of reading these things because they are so patently wrong. Nobody ever brings that point up. Of course, I just did, but what the heck? You know, the people that actually think about this kind of thing and think, oh, hey, you guys were wrong. Why are we listening to you? Are never the mainstream media, are never the people who are heard by millions of people every time they open their mouth. Never. It's always by somebody like me who I'm lucky if 125 people hear me at any one time or another. Although, just before I started on Conservative Nation Radio, I was getting like my last show before I came to Conservative Nation Radio was damn near 3,000 people listen to in the archives right now. That one kind of blew me away. But still, 3,000 people, that's not much when it comes to the scheme of the whole world. It's hardly a drop in the bucket. Maybe about 1/1,000,000th of a drop in the bucket. So not many people will hear me and my rants and my raves and telling everybody that don't tell the truth, they're freaking liars. Not many people will hear this. And it's sad because the things that need to be said are not being said by the people who get the word out. And NOPC Radio Network says 3,000 a week is about normal, and that's good for a blog show. When it comes to Conservative Nation Radio, we have a show on almost every night of the week. And some of them are getting some pretty good listenership right now. But still, we have to start thinking about, you know, stuff like this. We had there was another one who talked on in 1970 on this whole thing. He said, Life magazine said in a decade, urban dwellers will have to wear gas masks to survive air pollution. I thought that was hilarious. By 1985, air pollution will have reduced the amount of sunlight reaching the earth by one half. That would bring a new ice age, wouldn't it? So where's the ice? I know it's been cooler this year. I know it's been cooler the last couple of years. Except for last year here. I mean, it got downright warm. And we absolutely have had no rainfall for months and months and months. And they were all saying, oh my gosh, this is the worst drought we've had in 30 years. But it's all global warming to these people. And Barbara said that in the chat room. They are going to the point now where if we have some summer that's really, really hot, it's global warming. If we have a winter that's just so cold it's freezing people to death, it's global warming. And they expect us to believe this bull? Ecologist David Kenneth Watt in 1970 said, at the present rate of nitrogen buildup, it's only a matter of time before light will be filtered out of the atmosphere and none of our land will be usable. He was wrong. We've still got sunlight. And you can still get a sunburn on a cloudy day. Air pollution. This is another one. Paul Ehrlich again. He's wrong again, but he says, air pollution is certainly going to take hundreds of thousands of lives in the next few years alone. Yeah, and I read these things essentially to get a good laugh. Because what we have going here is these people who are working so hard to get our money to push an agenda that is patently untrue. They keep talking about how mankind is destroying this nation and this world because of all the pollution and stuff that we're putting into the world. They're making it so that We're all dead now. Nobody's hearing my voice. I'm not even talking. We're not even here. Ecologist Kenneth Watt said, by the year 2000, if the present trends continue, we will be using up crude oil at such a rate that there won't be any more crude oil. You'll drive up to the pump and say, fill her up, buddy, and he'll say, I'm very sorry, there isn't any. Now, this one I kind of laughed at, too, because, you know, if there's no oil, why the heck is he open to tell the person there isn't any oil? You know, if there's no gas, why is he even open? You know, and today we had, I think, 65 degrees. It was a very nice day. It's supposed to rain again tomorrow. Barbara says that it was in the 80s there, where she is. And Lady Michelle says global warming will be coming my way tomorrow, going to hit 70. But you know, if we actually believe in the things that all of these people are saying, we would have all burned up and gone to the next world by now. Because if everything that these people keep telling us was true, Earth would be uninhabitable right now. And as I look around, you know, I live in a little town, but I can go east 20 miles and I'm inside of Indianapolis. There are a lot of people there. I hate to break it to the global warming people, but there's more people there now than there were in the 70s. Newsweek magazine said in 1970, one theory assumes that the Earth's cloud cover will continue to thicken as more dust, fumes, and water vapor are belched into the atmosphere by industrial smokestacks and jet planes. Screened from the sun's heat, the planet will cool. Water vapor will fall and freeze, and a new ice age will be born. Yeah, and I remember these things. I lived the 70s. I lived the 60s. I remember all of this stuff, and I remember in the 90s how everything was coming back up. And in the 70s when they were talking about how dire it was getting and that we were all going to die because of global warming, the Earth at that point in time was cooling. And we went through a period of time where everything cooled, and the global warming people, I got a kick out of it because they were all pulling out their hair and saying, oh, what are we going to do? Everything's not working the way it's supposed to. And I think it was in the late 70s when they finally came up with the idea that it's global warming no matter which way the temperature goes. If it freezes up everything, it's because of global warming. If it gets really hot and boils water, it's because of global warming. If it gets so cold that ice boils, it's global warming. The last one that I have was by Kenneth Watt. He said, the world has been chilling sharply for about 20 years. If the present trend continues, the world will be about 4 degrees colder for the global mean temperature in 1990, but 11 degrees colder in the year 2000. That is about twice what it would take to put us into an ice age. So I guess, folks, according to Kenneth Watt, we are in an ice age now, and we might as well just start bundling up because it's never going to get warm again and we're all going to die. Now, I don't know about all of you, but 1970 was 43 years ago. If these moronic predictions were right, the world would be history by now, and we wouldn't have to worry anymore about the president and his minions trying to take our guns, our freedoms, and our liberties. But they were wrong, and they continue to be wrong. So why do we allow ourselves to be sucked into paying them trillions to forward the agenda that they say will destroy us, but never has, and will not in the future? We have done more to clean up our environment since 1970 than any of these weirdo wackos care to admit. The air is much cleaner now than it was in 1970. And, you know, I have people tell me, no, it's not. Research this whole thing. Check out photos of L.A. in the 70s as compared to now. And you'll see, now you can see the blue sky. Back then it was sickly brown. When are we going to admit that the government is wrong? Always has been. When are we going to admit the Al Gores of the world are wrong and always has been? Don't you think that God thought of these things that we would obviously do when he created the world? Of course he did. Trees renew the air. Plants renew the air. He put in an ecosystem that renews itself. And on top of that, folks, this whole scare about global warming goes even farther in the following statement. Surely we are not stupid enough to believe this. Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, said that global warming is partially to blame. Oh, God. Is partially to blame for the Boston Marathon bombing on last Friday. And he said this in Albany on the radio. He said, this is a quote, one gets the sense that this is more reflective of the quote unquote new normal, if you will. So much of society is changing so rapidly. We talk about a new normal when it comes to climate change and adjusting to a change in the weather patterns. New normal when it comes to public security and a post 9/11 world where these random acts of violence, which at one time were implausible, now seem all too frequent. Oh, brother. And there is more. From Rush Limbaugh came this one about Thomas Friedman. He said, now I haven't read it, but I've been told that Thomas Loopy Friedman, New York Times column yesterday, actually said that the proper response to the Boston Marathon bombing is a carbon tax. People were making jokes about that proper response carbon tax. Tom Friedman, I'm told, actually wrote this. Well, I went and found it, and it was on the, and then my telephone's ringing, I ain't going to answer it, the heck with that. Hope somebody else does. But Thomas Friedman wrote in the Front Page magazine that, you know, and he believes, he's one of these guys who believes the world is flat, now thinks that buying carbon credits, which is the same thing that Al Gore buys so that he can pollute with impunity and stop, but, you know, he thinks that buying carbon credits will stop Islamists. Why would buying carbon credits stop Islamists? Apparently, he thinks that because of global warming, we've got more terrorists, we've got more this, we've got more that. I don't know. This is completely ridiculous, and it drives me nuts.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Okay.
It takes 12 years to create a graduate. It takes about the same time to create a dropout. The difference between a child becoming one or the other could be you. Studies prove that reading to a child regularly dramatically improves reading skills. And kids who read well by third grade are four times as likely to graduate. So United Way is calling for 1 million volunteers over the next 3 years. We're asking you to step up, make a pledge, tutor a child who needs help, mentor a kid who needs someone on their side, volunteer to read to children, make a difference. Because when a child advances, we all advance. Entire communities improve. The path to success or failure starts long before graduation day. And the difference between a graduate and a dropout could be you. Be a reader, tutor, or mentor. Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge. Go to liveunited.org now. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Okay. Let's assume that if you're listening to conservativenationradio.org, you're a conservative. You love America and our Constitution just like we do. Since that's the case, you're going to want to supply depot to get everything from books, bumper stickers, and patriotic T-shirts to flags. And your pipeline to that good stuff is right here at conservativenationradio.org. Just go to our website, conservativenationradio.org, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative revolution needs. Wave your flag and proudly display your love for America and the conservative revolution starting right now. Just go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the Patriot banner, Patriot Depot banner, left that out again, to join the conservative revolution. Real conservatism for real conservatives.
Foreclosure is hard on every member of the family, but your family is not alone. If you're struggling with your mortgage, there is help. To learn about the government's Making Home Affordable program, visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE to speak to a HUD-approved housing counselor. It's free of charge. Visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE today. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, NeighborWorks America, and the Ad Council.
Okay. We've got... God, I've got another hour on this thing. I'm not sure if I've even got anything else to say. But if anybody wants to call in, the number is 718-305-7176. Tell us what you think about the things I have talked about. One of the things in OPC Radio says, we had snow the other day and a blizzard last week. Yeah, we had, I think last week we had woke up to snow, and it was actually more of a hail than a snow. But it was, tiny little, like kind of like tapioca snow is what it was. I couldn't think of that name. But it all has to do with global warming. We have to get that through our heads right now, that it's global warming that's destroying this nation and this country and this world. Because it's going to make us too warm or too cold, one or the other. Something's going to happen. We're all going to die. and I don't care. This whole thing about global warming just drives me nuts, because everything that they're talking about that is going on now, they're talking about how we're destroying this nation, and all this stuff that is going on now is going on because of what we're doing to the environment. No, it's not. It's been going on since the beginning of time. And we can't, no matter how often it's said, and I know I've heard others say this, I've heard Rush say this, I've heard Sean Hannity, I've heard Glenn Beck say this, I've heard Wilkow on the Blaze Network say this, global warming is not something that we have to worry about. Climate is cyclical, has always been, it will always change, and that's the way it's been since the beginning of time. This whole thing actually leaves me speechless, pretty much, because we get told things like this, and people just have a tendency not to either act like they don't believe it, or they just keep the mouth shut. They don't say anything. And I used to hear a thing from government. I think Reagan said it several times. He said that you know, the best thing to do is get a hold of the government. Give them your feelings. Let them know what they're doing wrong. If one phone call comes through a day that says anything about what they're doing is wrong, they know that there are at least 100 more that feel the same way. If 2 or 3, if 10 calls come in a day, they know that thousands feel this way, that they had better change their ways. Well, there have been times over the past couple of years that I've actually tried to get a hold of the government. I've had the number. I've used it quite a few times. But I've never gotten through. 90% of the time, the phone is busy. So you know that people are calling them. Either they're calling them or they're keeping the phones off the hook so people can't call them. And the only reason why I'm thinking that maybe they might do that is because they're getting inundated with calls from conservatives all over this nation that are telling them, cut this out or we're going to get rid of you. I think they're actually starting to worry. Barbara says that she calls all the time. I know I've called quite a few times, but I've never gotten through. And the times that it has rang, it just rings and rings and rings and rings and rings until it finally stops ringing. And it always sounds like somebody picks up the phone and hangs up again. Now, I don't know, you know, Barbara says that she calls all the time, and I don't know if she gets through or not. Maybe she could call in at 718-305-7176 and let us know. Yeah. But I have tried to call so many times that it's gotten to the point where if I actually did get through, my mind would probably freeze up and not remember what the heck I called for in the first place. Of course, I don't know this because I've never gone through, but it's gotten to the point where, you know, and I've watched Harry Reid and a lot of the things that he's been denying lately, saying that, you know, he's doing the things that his constituents are telling him to do. I don't think he is. If you look at his eyes when he says things like that, you can see he's lying. But we never hear of somebody doing what they did to Bush. Remember that when he was making the a speech and somebody threw a shoe at him? Or somebody called him a liar. I've always kind of sat there and I thought about, you know, every time Harry Reid says something stupid or Obama says something, well, everything he says is stupid. But when they say something that you know is patently untrue, how come nobody will stand up right then and there and say, that's not true, Mr. President, you're telling a lie? And it might be that nobody does that because they feel they would suddenly become a target for anything that the government would decide, well, they're a terrorist. Let's put them on the terrorist watch list. Keep an eye on them. Post FBI agents outside their house with their guns drawn because they're dangerous. They're conservatives, after all. And, you know, and she says she also sends emails. Well, I've sent many emails, and lately one of the things that I've been doing a lot is I get one of the magazines I get is Newsmax. I also get, and I'm not really sure why I do this, but I also get the New Republic. The New Republic is one of these liberal rags that my wife got that for me because she felt, you know, the name New Republic, that would had to be a conservative thing. No. They come up with stuff like, I did a blog post, probably about a year ago, on something that they put on the on their cover that was completely offensive. And it was about the Republican Party. And, you know, for the life of me right now, I cannot remember what it was, but it was offensive as heck. I emailed a whole bunch of people about that one. I emailed the editors of the New Republic. I posted it on my blog. I did a show on it, I'm pretty sure. Like I said, that's been a year ago. I think it was one of the only shows that I did last year. Conservative. Loki says the conservative one would be the old Republic. Yeah. But, you know, I still have that stupid magazine comes in once a month. And all I have to do is look at the cover to know just what stupid things they're going to be saying about us this time. But my wife got smart, and she also got me Newsmax, which is a decent magazine. And then I get all kinds of other things. But we have things. I have a couple of girls that are in school right now. One just hit high school, and the other one is still, I think she's in the sixth grade, I think, right now. It's sad that I don't know what grade my girls are in. But a couple of years ago, when Obama hit the scene, the school sent home requests from the students. Essentially, it was a permissions thing where we had to sign, because they were going to do a thing where one of Obama's speeches was going to be played, and they wanted the parents to give their permission to let the girls and let the kids in to watch this stuff. Well, me and my wife did not give them permission to let Ariel into this thing and have her listen to this. We told them, no, we don't want her subjected to this. We don't want her involved in this, and we would rather that she did something else during that time. Well, they went ahead and put her in there anyway. And she came home with all kinds of questions as to why are we all against Obama? Why are we all against this and that? And why do we hate Obama? Well, we had to essentially re-educate her on this. And my wife called the school and raised all kinds of hell about that. And they said, oh, it was just a mistake. We knew she wasn't supposed to be in there, but she ended up in there anyway. Well, my wife told them that, no, it wasn't a mistake. You did it because you wanted to, and that was and we never heard anything else about that. But since then, if they do something like that, she's automatically left out. So I guess it did some good. Loki says she gets Newsmax, Whistleblower, National Review. That's a good one. And a couple of others. I've always liked National Review. Whistleblower, I haven't seen too that too many times. But no, that's one I'd like to get myself. But this whole thing, you know, Loki says, oh, deprogramming. Yeah. You know, if you really want your children to believe that America is a great country, you need to deprogram them or keep them out of public schools. One of the things that I look at here, living in Indiana right now, I moved here from the West Coast, and I lived in Oregon. The liberal bastion of the West Coast. I moved here, and one of the things that I remember when I first moved here was that Indiana was broke. Indiana was in debt to the tune of, I think, billions of dollars. The mayor of Indianapolis was liberal, Democrat. The governor of the state of Indiana was a liberal Democrat. And they kept pushing more and more programs to take more and more money from the people so that they could, well, I guess, NOPC radio just logged out. I guess he had to go. But I'm glad he was here for most of the show anyway. But Indiana was broke. And then we had kind of a like a conservative revolution happen here. Mayor Ballard, who is now the mayor of Indianapolis, is a Republican. And he has done quite a bit to turn Indianapolis around. Mitch Daniels became our governor. And within the first 6 months of his first term, he had Indiana in the black. And Loki says, along comes Mitch. And we had bumper stickers all over the state that says, all they said was, my man Mitch. And he had us in the black within 6 months, 6 to 8 months of his first term. And we stayed there. And now we've got Mike Pence as the governor. And a lot of you, if you've heard of Mike Pence, he was one of the conservative stalwarts in Congress, the House. And I was really actually kind of sad to see him leave, because that took one of the conservatives out of Congress where we really needed them. But I think that one of these days that either Mitch Daniels or Mike Pence is going to probably try to run for president, maybe. I know this last election, not this last one, but the, I don't know, it might have been this last one. No, it had to have been the one before, because Mike Pence was still in Congress. And Loki was saying that you wanted him as speaker. Which one, Pence or, well, it couldn't have been Mitch because he wasn't in Congress. But every time Mike Pence would speak, it was like he had the right things to say, but he didn't, you know. And one of the things he told everybody when they tried to get him to run for president was that he didn't want to do it because not enough people knew his name, and not many people had become president from being a congressman. And he ran for the governor of Indiana, and that actually has helped our state, because now he's cutting taxes here, and not much can stop him and his and what he wants to do, because the Republicans have now got a supermajority in the House and the Senate here in Indiana. So there's not much the Democrats can do to stop us. And unlike the Republicans at the federal level, the people here in the state seem to know what they're after and know that they can get it. And they don't care what everybody says about them. And that's one of the things that just really makes me angry about the Republicans in Washington. Is, you know, like we've got the idiot, you know, McCain, who constantly wants us to go across the aisle to the other side and do the things that they want us to do, because what we want to do is not possible because we don't have the right ideas. And I always stop and sit there, and I hear him come out of the giggle weeds like this, and I sit there, and I want, and my first question is, why are you a Republican? You're not. Just because you got an R behind your name doesn't mean that you're a Republican. You're more a Democrat and a more of a liberal than anything else. But what this country, and I remember back when Bobby Jindal first started making a name for himself, and I was thinking back then, you know, this country needs more people like Bobby Jindal and Sarah Palin, and there weren't too many others, you know, Michelle Bachmann. There weren't too many others that you could come pull the names out of the hat and say, okay, these guys are Republicans, these guys are conservatives, these guys will do what is good for this nation. Now we've got Ted Cruz, they're all over the place now. And I've constantly been trying to get my hands around this idea that Republicans have to cave in and compromise with the Democrats, or we're not going to get what we want. And I have watched the Republicans compromise over and over and over and over and over again to get the things that they want. And the way it always happens is the Democrats get what they want right then and there. That's always a given. They always get what they want right then and there. But the Republicans never do. And my question on this one is, when are they going to learn? And I don't think they will. Yeah. Loki says, too bad a lot of them are ineligible to be president. Excuse me. But my idea on this whole thing is compromise has always been one of the things that has been the downfall of the Republican Party. Because we never hear of the Democrats compromising. I don't care how many times that you try to compromise or try to do the things that you want to do. I don't care. The problem is that we have always compromised with the Democrats, and the Democrats have always gotten what they wanted, and we never have. How many more times does this have to happen before we finally start banging our heads and saying, wait a minute, we're not getting anything and they're getting everything? No wonder we're always freaking losing. But until that day comes, and I think it's coming fast, people, I really do, there are more conservatives out here now than there have ever been. And if that one isn't true, then they have woke up. They are finally starting to sit up, smell the coffee, figure out what the heck is going on, and know that if they don't do something, America will not be here for their children. And that's the other thing that has always bugged me about what is going on with the Democrats. They always talk about how everything they do is for the children. But if you look at what they do, how can it be? Because everything they are doing is completely wrong for this nation. I just don't understand it. We have to start listening to what is going on. We have to start watching what is going on, because if we don't, we're not going to have a nation to defend anymore. I had an article here, and it's something that I really wanted to read, and I haven't seen it in any of my lists yet here. Oh, I found the one about McCain, but that's, I've already talked about him. the one that I wanted to read was by an immigrant who called into Russia's show the other day, and I'll get to that after a little bit, because I'm at a break right now. The leftist media would like conservatives like us to think we're just a few lonely voices in the wilderness. But don't be fooled. Americans that identify themselves as conservatives outnumber liberals by a 2-to-1, according to numerous polls, even by the liberals themselves. If you respect traditional American values, there's a place for you to call home on the internet. It's called traditionalamericanmovement.com, or TradAM, as we call our home. Traditional American Movement, that's one word, .com, is a place where real conservatives can meet up without turf wars and find out what's new in the conservative community. Join up and find out what's happening and be a part of the conservative revolution, all on traditionalamericanmovement.com. That's www.traditionalamericanmovement, one word, .com. I hope to see you there soon. TradAM is a liberal free website. Before I get to that immigrant thing, we had a thing here that just, well, I got something else I need to do too here.
Are you tired of your hard-earned money going to support liberal and progressive enterprises? I know I am. That's why I shop at thethirdlantern.com. This conservative marketplace ensures that your money is well spent and supports conservative entrepreneurs dedicated to making their products here in America. Look, I'm a business owner. I know how hard it can be to get your product out there. Get on his vendors list and it will help your sales. I have had his barbecue sauce. It is amazing. Check out the website, thethirdlantern.com. That's the3rdlantern.com. Send your liberal friends there and tell them Hig and Resch sent you. thethirdlantern.com. Put your money where your ideology is.
Okay. Wait just a second.
How we live united.
We play golf and we travel, but we also decided we were going to give to and volunteer with United Way at our community free health clinic.
I do the nursing at the clinic.
I work the front office, checking in patients, greeting them, making them feel comfortable.
United Way is how we contribute, because we know our time and money are going to the right places, the places that need it most and implement it best.
Judging by the thank yous we get at the clinic, I'd say we're doing the right thing with our retirement, too.
We even get a few bless yous. It's incredible.
We're Tom and Cindy Thornton. We volunteer at our community free health clinic, so we don't just wear the shirt.
We live it.
Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
Okay. One of the things that I found this week that just kind of blew me away was University of Connecticut came up with a new logo for their sports team, and it is supposedly a terrifying husky dog that calls to mind images of sexual assault, says one student. I've looked at this thing. If you guys can get to Rush Limbaugh's site, he's actually got a picture of this. And it's a freaking cartoon, for crying out loud. But the new logo was unveiled this last week and received mixed to negative reviews from University of Connecticut fans who preferred the older, cuter husky dog. But one student went much farther, criticizing the new Meaner logo for being a pro-rape symbol. I looked at this thing and nothing like that came to my mind, you know, and I had my wife look at it. Nothing like that came to her mind. She thought it was cute. And my girls, both of them, I had them look at it without telling them what was going on, and they thought it was pretty neat. And it really doesn't look that mean, for crying out loud. You know, I think this girl had one too many puffs of the giggle weeds that she had to been residing in for the last couple of months to even come up with this idiocy. But she said in an open letter to UC President Susan Herbst, self-described feminist student Carolyn Luby wrote that the redesigned team logo will intimidate women and empower rape culture. The University of Connecticut basketball coach Gino Aramena, I guess, said the logo is, quote, looking right through you and saying, do not mess with me. This is a streamlined fighting dog, and I cannot wait for it to be on our uniforms in court. In response, Luby wrote, what terrifies me about the admiration of such traits is that I know what it feels like to have a real-life husky looking straight through you and to feel powerless and to wonder if even the administration cannot mess with them. I know that I'm not alone. And I noticed Iggy Mom came in. Hello. Good to have you here. But Lady Michelle says, when you keep your kids out of school for something like that here in New Haven, it hurts their bottom line because they get money from the state based on daily attendance. Yeah, but this whole thing with the rape thing goes on. She says there were two sexual assaults in UConn involving athletes in the last year, she claimed. The logo and the teams it represents are menacing to women. Well, here's the thing that really caught my attention about this is the team that this supposed meaner husky dog was brought out for in the first place was a woman's team. Does that mean that the women now have to be afraid that they're going to be raped by whatever because of their logo on their uniforms is this meaner husky dog? And you have to look at this to see the complete absurdity in this whole thing, because the new logo essentially is a cartoon. It is nothing more than the idiocy of the Islamic people getting upset over a cartoon of Muhammad. Remember that a year ago or so? And to me, that is when we know that things are getting bad. When all of a sudden cartoons are bringing up ideas that you're going to get raped or that the wrong things are being said because of somebody's humor. I don't understand. What is coming of this world that we have to be afraid of a cartoon, of a new logo that is cartoonish but supposedly meaner looking? I mean, don't you want your teams to win? If you're in college or something like that, and you're supporting your basketball team or your football team, don't you want them to win? And the football team, that one brings up a whole new thing. The government now is essentially, if you think about what they're doing when it comes to football, Rush brought up this point that football is being targeted, and there he goes using that word targeted, is being targeted to be gotten rid of by the Liberal government. And I thought, no, come on now, you've got to be kidding here. But he brings this whole point up because if you follow back over the last couple of years, everything that the government has done when it comes to football is working in that direction. And they get everything they need to do this with, and they'll try to ban football. And what it is, it's turning this nation into a bunch of sissies. And I was getting ready to say that, and Barbara in the chat room says, making this country into a bunch of sissies. Yeah, that is exactly it. I remember growing up as a kid, if I got in a fight with some kid, my parents wouldn't go over to the other kid's house and tell their parents if they don't start watching what their kid is doing, that this is really something's going to happen and they're going to make sure it does. My parents told me if you get in a fight with somebody, it was either because of something you said or something that they said, and you guys need to deal with it yourselves and get this thing straightened out. And there were days I came home with a bloody nose and my mom just cleaned me up, sent me back out. And I went out and played. We played football in a neighbor's yard. And it was funny because it always started out as touch football with, you know, two hands below the waist type thing. And about 5 minutes into the game, somebody would get clobbered and they'd get tackled. And that would be the end of the touch football. And we'd be playing tackle football and we'd be out to kill the other players. We survived. We lived through it. And I think because we lived through it, I know that I'm a much stronger man today than I would have been if I'd have had to listen to the school authorities and my parents telling me that, oh, no, you can't do that kind of thing. You'll hurt yourself. My dad and my mom knew that part of life was getting hurt so you could get back up, be a stronger person, and know what you did wrong so you don't get hurt again. I just had the rant on that one. But that one article that I was going to read essentially came from Rush, and he had a caller, his name was Pablo, in Fort Lauderdale, called him on Friday. And the guy said something that I know would catch the attention of a lot of people if they would just open up their minds to what they are talking, what they are hearing. This guy said he was born in Argentina before he became an American, the best nation that ever was. He said, I grew up learning songs of praise to Evita. Evita, E-V-I-T-A. Okay, you remember these guys, that one. He said, in kindergarten, they made us sing and dance songs of praise. That when I hear now kids in school learning songs of praise to Obama, I get a chill in my mind. Now, this is not somebody who was born here in America. He was born in Argentina. It seems like people who have come to America from another country and had to live these kind of things sees the danger in what is going on today. He said to Rush, he said, now I want to tell you this. Most Hispanics like me and many friends that I have, we don't want to make America the same crappy place we came from. there is something that the politicians don't seem to understand. They don't want to come to America to have America become that same crappy place they came from. He said that's the last thing in our hope. Most of us are conservatives. Some are conservative. I'm a patriot. I love America. He said, I'm an American. But most of us do not want to make America the place where we came from. We don't want to destroy America. We are not liberal. We are not Democrats. We are not socialists. We live our own version of socialism. We lived our own version of socialism in our nation, and it didn't work. And that is the thing that we've got to stop and think about here. Throughout my life, I have heard constantly, liberalism doesn't work. Socialism doesn't work. You eventually run out of other people's money, and then you're broke. And Barbara says, what the politicians forget is they work for us. We don't work for them. And a lot of the spokespeople who talk with the microphones and get out to millions of people forget this too. Remember Kid Rock? I guess it was Kid Rock. No, it wasn't Kid Rock. It was Chris Rock saying that we had to obey Obama, our father, our boss. And I damn near threw something at the television. Would have gotten in big trouble with my wife if I'd done that, because we just bought that thing about 8 months ago. I couldn't believe that he said that, and nobody in the audience refuted him. And if they did, I didn't hear anything. I know it was a big thing in Twitter the next day. I know it was a big thing on Facebook, too. And not in a good way for Chris Rock. But did you ever hear since then him coming out and saying, I'm sorry, I was wrong? Or hearing of any of the consequences of what he had said getting through to him that he was wrong? No, he didn't. Nothing of anything like that showed up. And it didn't show up because it wasn't meant to be. At least from the liberal side anyway. And of course the liberals own the media. But we have so much in the past and in what is going on now that should just scream to us and tell us that we are on the right side. Do not give up. That it just amazes me when we have people like John McCain or Lindsey Graham or any of these others that keep saying, oh, as a Republican, we have to back off. I would think that as a Republican or as a libertarian or as somebody who really believes in this nation and believes that the Constitution is something that needs to be enforced, need to stop and say, no, wait. I ain't going to back off anymore. I'm getting tired of being in the giggle weeds with the ones on the left. I'm getting tired of being lost in the deep weeds with them. You get in those deep weeds, you can't see anything what's going on anyway. No wonder they're always wrong. And I like to say that we are right and they are wrong. Because it's not always true but lately it has been. We are right. We want this country to survive. We want this country to be great like it used to be. We want our laws to mean something. We want our borders to be sovereign. We want Americans to go back to work. And we want our politicians in Washington to know that they are not our bosses, that they don't work, that they don't, that we don't work for them. We want our politicians to know that they are there to do what the people want them to do. Otherwise, we are what the media says we are. How often have you heard from the media that we are a democracy? I've even heard this on Fox. No, we're not. We are a republic. A democracy essentially is something like mob rule. I think I saw read that somewhere a week or so ago. We are not a democracy. That's another thing that drives me up the wall, makes me want to bang my head against the wall. Every time I hear a reporter on the news, and I usually watch Fox, so you know it's not like I'm watching a news network like CNN or something like that, or hear Piers Morgan talk about how bad America is. God, I don't know. We live in the greatest nation this world has ever seen. He says, two wolves and a sheep discussing what's for dinner. Exactly. We have got to stop and realize that America is great because of her Constitution. America is great because of her people. America is great because we are a land under God. And we have to stop allowing these politicians telling us that our borders cannot be sovereign because that would keep people out that should be here. Or that if we build that fence on our southern border, all of a sudden we're keeping people out who deserve to be here. And all I have to say on that one is we're not trying to keep people out. Yeah, Lopi says, a republic is two wolves and a well-armed sheep discussing what's for dinner. Yeah. But we have to stop giving in to the idea that if we stop standing up for ourselves or if we stop doing the right things that we'll be liked and things will be hunky-dory and better. No, they won't. It's time the Republicans and the right and the conservatives stood up and said, no, we want this country to be great and we know how to do it. You don't. And all we have to do is call up history. Let them know that history is on our side. History is on the side that of the people who want laws to be enforced. Not a whole bunch of new laws brought in because the old laws are not being enforced. That's where we have got our problems now. We have got a country of laws, and the laws are not being enforced, so that means the system's broke, so we have to make new laws to put on top of the old laws so that the new laws will be enforced. No. If the old laws are not being enforced, new ones will not be either. This whole thing about gun control, everything that they're talking about trying to put into a new law is already there. All they have to do is start enforcing the laws that are already there. And it's stupid to put new laws on top of old laws that say exactly the same thing as old laws and expect the new ones to be followed when the old ones weren't. I really don't understand. And I'm running out of time. I wanted to leave you with that thought. since we have immigrants who are coming into this country and saying that they don't like what the politicians are doing because they're going to turn this country into the same crappy place that they came from. And it's so true. But I'd like to thank Barbara for being there. Loki, especially. I really like his take on a lot of things. Lady Michelle, I'm glad you were here. Iggy Mom, I'm glad you were here. And everybody else that was here during the time that the show was on. I think I pushed the phone number for this show more than I think I ever have. And, well, that's just really cool. Neither one of my songs will work for my outro. So I don't have one, I guess. Tried to bring in the same song I had last week, which was song by the Monkees called Unlucky Stars. And it said a bunch of things. The one I tried to get for tonight was one of those new songs by Lynyrd Skynyrd. And thanks for showing up, Loki. I'm glad you were here. It's called That Ain't My America. And I thought it would be a great song for ending the show with. But it says it's still processing the audio, which it should have been done a long freaking time ago. So it doesn't look like it's going to work. But I will say goodnight to everybody. Glad you were here. I'm glad that everybody survived my rant. Essentially, this is what it was. I was pretty much about almost as pissed off as I was last week when I wasn't here. And but I actually kind of kept my temper this time because I realized that it is because of us that we have got the politicians in Washington that we have now. Monkeys. Yeah. I like finding these old groups that you haven't heard from for ages and ages and using their music. But I thank everybody for being here tonight, and I'm glad that you were. Let me see if I can probably go ahead and just use my first intro song, and I'll talk to you guys next week at the same time. Bye. God bless y'all. God bless you all.